I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The founder of the Field of 68, that's a podcast you can subscribe to anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. It's Rob Doster making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Rob, it's never boring in Memphis. Penny Hardaway's fourth season has been eventful, that's for sure. The Tigers are now 10-8, coming off a win at Tulsa. They are at home against East Carolina on Thursday night. From an outsider's perspective, somebody who covers this sport intelligently and closely but isn't sort of trapped in the day-to-day of it in the Memphis market, what's your general thoughts on the situation at Memphis as it sits right now?
It's a mess. That's kind of what my general thoughts are. And honestly, I don't think Penny's done a very good job managing egos and managing talent and keeping everybody happy. You know, I think role allocation and expectations of shots and things of that nature, I think that's probably where he struggled the most. You know, I think a lot about Trevion Williams when it comes to what's going on with Memphis right now and how he kind of sacrificed his starting spot at Purdue once Zach Edey beat him out, right? And you watch, whenever he's not in the game, he's the biggest cheerleader on that sideline. He understands that Matt Painter is doing what is best for this team to win, and this is his best opportunity to win a national championship if he goes along with this plan and buys in. I think you look at Auburn and see how their most dynamic backcourt player, Wendell Green, comes off the bench and doesn't complain about it. You see how Jabari Smith is fine playing second fiddle to Katie Johnson when he needs to, and how Walker Kessler is fine just doing nothing but blocking shots and catching lobs, and how everybody kind of understands what they are being asked to do and accepting their role. You know, Alan Flanagan is a perfect example. He's a veteran that was on track to be a lottery pick or a first-round pick, depending on where you looked in the preseason, got injured, came back, and now he's like the fifth option on that team. But he's just buying in and doing his job and letting that young freshman come in to be the superstar because he knows that's how you become the number one team in the country. So that's, to me, that's the biggest issue with this team is people not understanding what it's going to take to win and everybody wanting to be the guy when not everyone can be the guy on the team.
One of the points some other coaches have made to me when I'm talking to them about whatever, and Memphis obviously comes up, they say, you know, obviously Penny and his staff can recruit. And they actually say, I think Penny and his staff can coach. Like, I don't hear a lot of people saying, I don't think Penny can coach or teach or instruct. But what they, a lot of them go to is, how many of those guys on his staff worked on a college campus before they worked on the Memphis campus? Larry Brown, obviously, but he's also 81 years old. But, you know, Penny Hardaway never worked on a college campus, never worked in a college basketball program until he was the head coach at his alma mater. Cody Toppert never worked on a college basketball campus, never worked in a college basketball program until he got the job at Memphis. The same was true for Rasheed Wallace when Rasheed Wallace was on staff. The point these coaches are making is that there's a lot more to running a college basketball program than just recruiting and coaching your team. And a severe and unusual lack of experience in that regard has probably complicated things at Memphis quite a bit. Do you agree with that sentiment at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the perfect example is what's going on with Rasheed Wallace in this moment, right? Like, why is he in a situation where he's not able to be on the bench anymore, right? How is that something that is going to make sense when he's supposed to be one of the guys that is you know, helping to develop Jalen Duren into being a superstar and hoping to develop Malcolm Dandridge into being a guy that can be, you know, an all ACC caliber player, right? I also think, you know, we talk about how well he can recruit, but I also think this is a horribly constructed roster. You know, at some point, Penny's got to look at himself in the mirror and say, okay, my plan coming into this season was to turn a 17-year-old, 170-pound gunner into me, into a guy that is one of the greatest point guards of a generation. Someone who has never done that in his entire basketball life. He's never played the point. I'm going to turn him, as a 17-year-old that's supposed to be a senior in high school, into the guy running this offense. You know, you went into the season without a point guard. What did you think was going to happen? You know, like, I understand that he's frustrated, and I understand that there's criticisms that are being lobbed his way, and he might not think it's fair, and he's probably working really, really hard with this group to try to get it right. But he has not done a good job with role definition and role allocation, and he did a really, really bad job with building a roster that's going to succeed at the college level. How do you win without a point guard, GP? Look at all the national champions since 2010. I think 10 of the last 11 national champions have had two point guards on their roster. The only one that didn't was a team that had Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. They started two point guards. So I understand why he's frustrated, and losing is never easy. He's never lost in his life. I don't think he understands how to handle it. But at some point, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I didn't do a very good job getting this group ready to win.
Talking to Rob Doster from the Field of 68. He's on Twitter, at Rob Doster. You mentioned Amani Bates. If you were an NBA executive, how concerned would you be about the way he's looked through 15 college games?
I mean, he's kind of looked about what we expected him to be, right? He looks exactly the same that he looked at Pischamme this past year, where he hits a ton of really difficult shots. He shows flashes of being a little bit of a playmaker. He also takes a lot of really dumb shots. He makes a lot of really bad decisions. He's just kind of – he's one of these guys, I think, that skip too many steps, right? The conversation about Shaedon Sharpe, and I don't mean to turn this into something about Kentucky, but the conversation about Shaedon Sharpe and whether or not he should play this year, whether or not they should just kind of throw him into the mix, I don't think it's ever good to kind of rush your own process. And it feels like Amani Bates, since he was 14 years old, has kind of rushed his process to become the next great basketball player coming out of the American developmental system, when really what he should have just done is kept doing what he was doing, spent all the years that he needed to spend in high school, get to the point where you're physically ready to handle the college level, get to the point where you're mentally ready to handle this kind of attention, get to the point where you are as good of a basketball player as you can be when you step in the door. I mean, let's call it what it is. He hasn't been good enough to be someone that belongs in that conversation to be a top 10 pick. You know, I don't think that's something that is subjective. I think that's pretty objective. You know, so if you look at what he's done and the efficiency that he's played with, it's not good enough. He hasn't been a great defender. So it's just, you know, I feel bad just kind of lobbing grenades at a 17-year-old kid that's supposed to be a senior in high school. And I still think he's going to end up being a very good player one day. He's going to end up in the NBA. He's too talented of a scorer not to play in the NBA. But I do think that it's, big picture, never a great thing to rush your own process, man. Just enjoy the path getting to where you need to be. You don't have to get there the next day, you know?
We've seen so many parents over the years do exactly this, make this mistake with uniquely talented young prospects. I think the most famous is probably Renardo Sidney. You know, he's a young man growing up in Mississippi and is considered the best player in the country at his age. And then they move him to California and they build a grassroots team around them. And everything just gets, you know, messed up. And he never becomes the player he was supposed to be. And with Amani, you know, they take him out of a traditional high school. They build a grassroots team around him. He's not practicing with or playing with comparable talent. He's not getting competent coaching. Then they reclassify him, rush him off to college when it appears clearly not ready for that. You know, look, listen, being a parent is hard. And, you know, you and I both know that as parents. And I imagine being the parent of a uniquely gifted athlete is even more difficult. But I do feel bad for him, because I think his guidance hasn't probably been the best. And I'm not questioning anybody as a parent. I'm sure his father is loving and brilliant. But I think as it pertains to his development as a basketball prospect, they've made some pretty poor choices that have caught up to him.
Yeah, you know, I think in hindsight, there may be things that he would have done differently. I would also personally say that, you know, us in the media probably did not help things either. And I can look in the mirror and say that I wrote columns where I put Kevin Durant in the same sentence as Amani Bates when he was 14 and 15 years old the first time. I think we saw him together at Peace Jam back in, what was it, 2019, GP? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I probably spoke a little hyperbole when talking about him, because when he was 14 years old and you watched him play, it was very easy to see what he was doing on the floor and compare it to what Kevin Durant was doing at Golden State at that time. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a 15-year-old, and I can't remember what the headline was, but we kind of lobbed all this pressure on him. And I know that that was very difficult for him to handle, because I think the way that the media ecosystem works is you kind of build someone up and then you kind of break them down. It's just it's difficult for 16-year-olds to deal with, and I know that I'm probably guilty of doing a lot of that myself. And you know, it's one of those things where you try not to do it again, but it's hard, man. And there are times where I do feel bad for him. You know, he's a 17-year-old put in this situation. It's a lot on him. There's other times where I say, well, it's a mistake of his own doing. You know, so it's a tough situation. I try not to be too harsh on him, but you know, it's a lot easier to kind of look at the leadership in that program and say that's kind of where the fault lies, I think.
I'm talking to Rob Doster from the Field of 68. You mentioned Kentucky earlier, and you were talking about how Penny roster built and maybe didn't do it with a, you know, while considering all of the things you should consider while you're building a college basketball roster heading into the season, you know, with Alex Lomax as your only true point guard option is you know, obviously a mistake. At Kentucky, I feel like John Calipari, and I give him an immense amount of credit for this, he really did, you know, start thinking about a roster makeup more with this team than I think he did in years past, when he, you know, would just go out and get a bunch of five stars and then try to make it fit. Like, he saw last season's team didn't have competent point guard play, didn't have enough shooting, and so he prioritized point guard play and shooting. He went out and got Sahvir Wheeler from the transfer portal, enrolled Ty Washington, so now when healthy, you know, Kentucky can play with two point guards at the same time. He added Kellen Grady, transfer portal, that provides more shooting, added another transfer from Iowa who is hurt, but, you know, the mindset was the same thing, let's add shooting. You know, do you think that's an accurate assessment of what John did? And I'm not just going to go out and try to find the best players to enroll in advance of the 2021-22 season. I'm going to find really good players who fit together really well.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely what he did. And the funny part is he still has a bunch of five stars that he brought in that, sure, that may or may not be playing this year. Like, they got a top 10 kid in Damian Collins that doesn't even sniff the floor at this point. So he still did some of that, but to your point, he, instead of building a group of players and just building a roster, he built a team that is going to fit together when you actually put it on the court. And they're able to play more ways than one, right? Like, if they want to go big, they always have Oscar Tshiebwe in the middle, and they can kind of put one of these other four men like Bryce Hopkins or someone out there. If they want to go small, they can play Sahvir Wheeler with Ty Washington and Kellen Grady. And all of a sudden you have a bunch of shooters that can play up and down in transition. They have guys that can give you multiple looks, because if you need to play Ty on the ball, you can do it. If you need to play Sahvir Wheeler on the ball, you can do it. If you need to play in transition, I don't think there's anybody better in the open floor at this point than Sahvir Wheeler is. So he built a group that is much more modern than I think we've ever seen a John Calipari basketball team be, right? Like, this team can play different ways, different styles, and honestly, I think that they're probably one of, like, the 6 to 8 best teams in college basketball. And if you were to line them up player for player, talent for talent, and just look at them on paper, I don't know that they are significantly better than what Memphis is in terms of their talent, right? Like, Memphis has a guy that's going to be a top 10 pick in Jalen Duren, so does Kentucky. Memphis has guys that are good college players that were able to put together a run to the NIT title. Kentucky's got a bunch of good college players too, but the pieces fit, and that matters so much more at the college level, and it matters significantly more if you don't have a point guard on your roster.
We've reached the point where people are starting to debate Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren as the number one overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft. Where do you fall on that discussion?
At this point, it's Jabari for me. He just, when you're that size and you can shoot it the way that he can shoot it, and he puts in the effort that he has put in defensively, and he plays as hard as he plays, he's a no-brainer to me at this point. Chet, look, I love him in theory. I just got to see the kid put on weight, man. I can't draft a 7-footer that weighs 180 pounds, number one overall, when I have a chance to get someone like a Jabari Smith. And Paolo, I'm still in on Paolo. He's big. He's physically developed. He can pass it better than I think people realize. He is – I can't remember who made this comparison, so I'm just going to steal it. Someone called him the modern-day Chris Webber, and I don't know if he'll end up being like a Hall of Fame caliber player, but I think that he's very much kind of has that in his range of outcomes, if that makes sense. So, I mean, I love Jabari. I love Paolo. I'll probably take Jabari number one at this point, though.
Wrapping up here with Rob Doster from the Field of 68. He's on Twitter at Rob Doster. Last thing before I let you go, we got a great one tonight, 10 o'clock Central on ESPN, Pac-12 Showdown, Arizona at UCLA. Two questions. Which one of those teams do you believe in more? And B, is it possible former Gonzaga assistant Tommy Lloyd will win a national title before Gonzaga wins a national title?
He might, man. I think this Arizona team is right in the same conversation as Auburn and Gonzaga for the best team of college basketball. They're that good. They got pros up and down their roster. They got a monster big in Christian Coloco. They got a guy that might end up being a top 10 pick in Benedict Mathurin. They have good point guard playing Kirk Creasa, who is he plays with a certain swagger and attitude that I just love out of point guards. They have length. They have athleticism. They can play fast. They can defend. They have shooting. They have everything, man. I'm still in on UCLA as being a team that can make a run. I just don't think that they're the best team in the Pac-12 anymore. You know, when you rely on being a group that hits a bunch of tough shots, it's very difficult to consistently win at a very high level. So they're going to win big games. They're going to probably make a run of the tournament because they have guys that have been in that moment before. And I'll be very interested to see what happens now that they have fans back in that building. It just did not look like the same team playing Oregon at home in an empty building that they did when they played Villanova in the opener.
That is Rob Doster, founder of the Field of 68. It's a podcast you can subscribe to anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. He's on Twitter at Rob Doster. Thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate your time. Hope to see you soon.
GP, always a pleasure, man.
I'll see you, baby. That's Rob Doster from the Field of 68. When we come back, Patrick Mahomes' fiance, the mother of his child, is in the middle of a controversy because she sprayed champagne all over Chiefs fans while celebrating Sunday night from her luxury suite. She responded to the criticism late last night on Twitter. I'll tell you what she said next. You're listening. The Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's number one sports station.
Do you have knee pain? Stiff, swollen, achy knees? If so, it could be osteoarthritis. See if you qualify to take part in a clinical research study with the opportunity to try an investigational oral product for pain associated with osteoarthritis. To take part, you must be 18 to 64 years of age. Call CNS Healthcare at 901-843-1045 to schedule a no-cost assessment and learn more about an oral pain relief option available through this clinical research study. Compensation up to $550 may be provided to those who qualify. Call CNS Healthcare at 901-843-1045. That's 901-843-1045. Or visit cnshealthcare.com for more on this knee pain research study.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
At Fisher Investments, our clients know we have their backs.
How do your clients know that?
Because Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, the highest standard for a financial advisor. It means we're there for our clients and always put their interests first.
So wait, you do it because you have to?
No, we do it because it's the right thing to do. Our clients trust us with their retirement savings, and we know how important that responsibility is. So we take the time to really get to know them.
Get to know them how?
We make sure we understand their unique goals, finances, health, family, and lifestyle so we can tailor their portfolio to their specific needs. Our goal is to help them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Sounds like a big responsibility. You must make big commissions then, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We have one single transparent fee that's structured so we do better when our clients do better. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you are switching to us. Fisher Investments. Clearly different money management.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
Your goals, your future, your dreams. These things are none of our business. Your symptoms, your work from home sweatpants, and whatever you were searching for at 1:15 a.m. That's really none of our business. Because your life is private. And unlike other tech companies, we think your internet should be too. Oh, who's that from? Ah, that's none of our business either. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Gorgeous gaming, stunning streams, unbelievable bandwidth. Welcome to another Lifestyles of Gagillionaires. Meet the AT&T Fiber customers winning at life with hyper gig speeds. Say hello to the Walkers, a family of not one but four gagillionaires, each living up their gagillionaire life at ludicrous internet speed. First up, Anna Walker. She dominates streaming like the matriarch she is. No show ever goes unwatched under her watch.
Next episode.
Next up, Peter Walker. There's no stopping this dad bod from showing up to his virtual workout sessions.
Oh, let's go leg day.
And finally, the Walker twins. They may look alike, but couldn't internet more differently. Harry dominates his fellow online gamers while Heather group video chats with friends.
Ooh, nice background filter, Jess.
Live like a gagillionaire. Get internet that upgrades everything. AT&T Fiber, now with speeds up to 5 gigs.
Limited availability in select areas. Speeds not guaranteed. Single device wired speed, max 4.7 gig per second. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
So a friend told me about Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, and his exact words were, it changed my life.
I used to spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to remove tomato sauce from inside our microwave and soap scum off the bathtub.
It's like seriously magic, and my secret weapon for cleaning the kitchen, bathroom, doors and walls, and even keeping my sneakers clean.
Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Greatest invention ever.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, the unicorn of cleaning.
Ever have questions about your prescriptions, even in the middle of the night? Well, Walgreens now offers Pharmacy Chat 24/7, so you can ask an expert about things like the correct dosage of your medications or possible side effects. Speaking of side effects, the side effect of getting your questions answered at 2 a.m.? Sleeping much easier for the next 6 hours. Try Pharmacy Chat today or tonight, online or on the Walgreens app.
Southland Casino Racing is hiring and offering a $2,000 sign-on bonus. Apply at dn.careers/Southland.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hear the warning and you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Goat body. All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you. Price went up.
Yeah. Isn't there auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, or business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second-generation local agency, been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee, Elizabeth can help you. You live in Mississippi, Elizabeth can help you. She's a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you are somebody who likes to support businesses that support the local university, then Elizabeth Rook Insurance is the agency for you. You probably got a local doctor, a local dentist, a local attorney. You also need a local insurance agent. Because when you get to a point where you're going to have to make an automobile claim or a homeowner's claim, and you will get to that point, I mean, I don't wish it on you, but you're going to get to that point, you want to be dealing with somebody who knows you, somebody you can see in person. You don't want to dial a 1-800 number. You want to dial a 901 number. That's what you can do with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. 901-867-SAVE. 901-867-7283. It's Elizabeth Rook Insurance. Two locations in the Memphis area. One on Canada Road in Lakeland, the other on Highway 51 in Covington. Learn more online, rookinsurance.com. That's rookinsurance.com. Jeff Cargan's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 444. Story number one.
Big Ben Bennett, we have controversy in Kansas City.
Yeah, I've seen.
Mm-hmm. It involves Brittany Matthews. She is Patrick Mahomes' fiance. She's the mother of his child. And on Sunday night, right after the Chiefs beat the Bills in incredible fashion, from her luxury suite in Arrowhead Stadium, she popped a bottle of champagne and sprayed it all over Chiefs fans sitting and yelling and celebrating below her. There's two lines of thinking here. One is, this is just a woman who was celebrating her husband and celebrating an achievement by a team that she loves just as much as these fans love. And so her spraying champagne on them was just her way of including them in the celebration. That's one way of thinking. Mm-hmm. The other way of thinking is, yo, why are you spraying champagne on us from your luxury suite? It's sticky. We have a long drive home. We love that you are excited. We're excited too. But that doesn't give you permission, consent to spray us with an alcoholic beverage. Where are you at on this, Big Ben Bennett?
Absolutely the latter. Do not spray me with champagne. Now, like, if Patrick Mahomes comes running up into the crowd, like after that walk-off win and wants to spray everybody with champagne, maybe we'll talk. Like, it's Patrick Mahomes. We came to see this guy. Don't spray me with champagne if you're Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend. That's unacceptable.
It's his fiance.
Oh, it's his fiance. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's the mother of his child.
I apologize, Brittany. And then her response is like, I mean, I can't stand her. I just can't. I can't help it.
You hate Brittany Matthews?
I don't know if I hate her, but I mean, just everything I've seen, you know, publicly, I don't like her, no.
Her response to the criticism, she finally addressed it last night on Twitter, and her response is as follows. I just wish I could do what I want without getting attacked every week. Bennett, she just wants to be able to do whatever she wants, including spraying champagne on strangers, if that's what she wants to do.
You know, when she puts it that way, maybe I should feel sorry for her, GP.
Is that too much to ask? Just allow me, Brittany Matthews.
Why can't we all just do whatever we want?
Why, is that too much? Just allow me, Brittany Matthews, to do whatever I want to do with no regard whatsoever for how anybody else feels about it. What a wild thing to say.
What a stupid thing to say.
This poor woman, she had 24 hours to think this through, and that's what she came up with?
Yeah, like, I don't know if you asked me if I hated Brittany Matthews. No, the answer is no. It's just she seems incredibly obnoxious. Like, if you've seen videos of her in the past, it's always like a lot of screaming and just loud, like, I don't know. She seems like a very obnoxious person.
Is she worth an Instagram follow?
I mean, I guess.
I went and checked it out a little bit earlier today. Yeah. A lot of workout videos.
Yeah, she's a fitness instructor.
She's doing a lot of squatting, I saw.
Uh-huh, she runs some fitness company. I saw it on her profile.
How do you feel about squatting videos?
Squatting videos are cool.
Yeah, I don't mind them.
Squatting videos are cool. Squatting is good for you.
What would Instagram be without squatting videos, you know?
Someplace I don't want to be.
That's not an Instagram I want to be
at. I don't want to be a part of that Instagram.
Well, she should have said old Brittany Matthews. She should have said, you know what? Here's what she says. Something along these lines.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry would have been great. You got to have that in there somewhere, probably.
Yes.
Hey, guys, just wanted to say I've seen the video and I've heard, you know, everybody's opinions on it. And the truth is, I got caught up in the moment. I was, just like you, so happy for my partner, so happy for this franchise that I care so much about, so happy for you guys because I know how much you care about this franchise as well. And I was just celebrating and I wanted to celebrate with you. And I got caught up in the moment. And in that moment, spraying champagne seemed like a totally reasonable way to celebrate. But given the, you know, given, you know, 24 hours removed from it, I can now realize how maybe not everybody wanted to be sprayed with champagne. And for that, I apologize. Yeah, it just would have played better, I think.
Yep.
I just wish I could do whatever I want.
It's just not going to go over well, Brittany. It's just not going to work.
Because I wouldn't like it. Like, there are certain times where you can reasonably expect to be sprayed with champagne. Like, if you go into a locker room after a game, a team has just won a championship.
Yep.
You enter that locker room with an understanding there's a decent chance I might be sprayed with champagne. But sitting in the stands at a football stadium is not a reasonable place to assume you might be sprayed with an alcoholic beverage. You know, as some of these people have pointed out on social media, hey, I don't drink. I had an hour drive home. I don't want to have sticky alcoholic beverage all over me while I'm trying to drive home because the quarterback's fiance decided she would spray me from her luxury suite. Like, would she like it if we sprayed her from down below? Probably not. So why would she think it's okay for us to, for her to do that to us? And I think that's generally true. Like, there's no way you can spray champagne into a crowd at a football game and be under the assumption that everybody who is going to get sprayed with champagne is okay with that. I'm sure some were. I know others weren't. And if others weren't going to be, then you probably can't do it. I can understand her getting caught up in the moment, but that's how she probably should have addressed it when she addressed it last night. Hey, guys, I got caught up in the moment, but I apologize. Instead, she made it clear she just wants to continue doing whatever she wants without getting attacked. And I wish her luck. Seems unlikely, but I wish her luck.
Story number two.
Andy Reid is the latest to come out and say that the NFL needs to at least have a real conversation about the way they do overtime. And this is a man who benefited from the way they do overtime just two nights ago. As you know, the Chiefs won a coin toss, so they got the ball, and then Patrick Mahomes marched them right down the field. Game over. Buffalo never got to possess the ball after regulation. And a lot of people have pointed out that seems fundamentally flawed. And it does seem fundamentally flawed. Should the NFL change the overtime rule, Bennett?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, and I don't know what it is. Like, I've heard the different ideas. Like, you know, some people say, well, you just have one period of time in overtime, and whoever's winning at the end of that, that's the winner of the game. And then some people say, you know, we do the back and forth thing, kind of like in college football, and then you eventually have to start going for two every possession if it keeps getting tied up. But, yeah, you watch how that game played out. It's just not right that Josh Allen didn't have the ball in his hands in overtime, especially watching how that game played out.
It's outrageous. There's no other sport where that would happen. Like, imagine if a baseball game went to extra innings and then you flipped a coin, and if you got it right, you get to hit, and if you don't get it right, you go out into the field. And if the team that is hitting scores a run in the top of the 10th, there is no bottom of the 10th. The game's just over. They scored one run, and now you don't even get to bat in the bottom of the 10th. That's great. What? Nobody would think that makes any sense, and yet that is what we do in the NFL. I don't love the way we do it in college, but I do prefer the collegiate overtime model to the NFL overtime model. Like, I haven't put much thought into this, but one way, like, something I could get down with, because I don't like that in college you basically start in field goal range. Like, let's back it up a little bit.
Agreed.
I'd do this. Team A gets the ball at the 50, and they're going to just play it until they kick a field goal, score, turn it over, either via fumble, interception, or on downs. And then no matter what happens there, unless it's a pick six or a scoop and score, no matter what happens there, Team B will also get the ball at the 50, and we'll keep doing that back and forth, until at the end of one series of this, somebody's got more points than the other. If Team A goes out and scores a touchdown from the 50, and then Team B comes out and scores a touchdown from the 50, well, then we're going to do it again. And then if Team A kicks a field goal and Team B scores a touchdown, then it's done. But we're going to keep doing it until we get somebody at the end of a round of it with more points than the other. Is that reasonable?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, you could tinker with it if you want to, but fundamentally, I think that's the best way to go about it. You know, you want to start at the 45 instead of the 50 or the 40 instead of the 50 or whatever. You can tinker with it if you like, but both teams should have an offensive opportunity in overtime. The fact that the NFL has a system where that isn't guaranteed seems like a problem.
Story number three.
Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show earlier today and seemed to suggest, certainly sound like a man who is A, planning to play football next season, and B, planning to play football next season with the Green Bay Packers. He went out of his way to say his relationship with the general manager is in a good place, his relationship with the organization is in a good place, and that he doesn't want to drag this out. He seemed to hint that he'll have a decision in place at some point next month, and certainly seemed to hint that as long as it can all make sense financially, he'll be playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers next season. Is that what you suspect will happen now?
Yeah, because I think, and Jason mentioned this earlier, and I think it's right, I think there's a good chance that they might try to franchise tag Devontae Adams. Right. I mean, keep those two together. And Aaron's made it clear he wants to play with Devontae Adams. Like, right. that's his guy. So I think that because of that, and because I think Devontae Adams will likely be there, that they'll just run the thing back and try to figure out a way to make the team better going into next season.
They got huge salary cap issues, but like there is a scenario where they can easily bring back Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, and those seem like the most important pieces. And Aaron Rodgers seemed like a guy who is certainly leaning that direction, you know, as it pertains to what he's going to do next season, come back to Green Bay and make another run at it. Because, you know, you start looking at other options and like what is a better spot next season for Aaron Rodgers than Green Bay? Like, perhaps there's one out there, but I'm not sure that there is.
Yeah, I'm not either. I mean, I think the ones that stand out are going to be like Denver, the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I just think that where he is right now, you've just got such a good chance of winning that division every year like you already are. Like, I think you stay there.
And if the main reason it got complicated between him and the franchise was because he and the front office were sideways, if he's now saying we're not sideways anymore, like we're all in a good place, we're all talking, we're all being open and honest with each other, when he goes out of his way to say, yeah, I'm in a good place with my front office, then that eliminates the biggest thing that made him want to leave Green Bay in the first place. So I suspect he'll be back there next season.
Well, and you made the point yesterday too, like, let's just be honest with ourselves, like Aaron Rodgers is a guy who likes to speak, you know, publicly, and some of the things he says are a little out there sometimes, and you could get away with that in Green Bay. Like, they're not gonna turn on you for that stuff. You go somewhere else, that may not be the case.
Right. You know, this pandemic has done a lot of things, obviously, but I think the most interesting thing it's done is, boy, you learn a lot about people. I've learned a lot about people over the past couple of years.
Yes.
Like people I don't know, like, you know, celebrities and like you know, Aaron Rodgers, and then people I do know, like people in my family, people who I, you know, am friendly with. This pandemic has taught us a lot about people, what matters to them and what doesn't. And Aaron Rodgers has undeniably turned himself into a villain among a certain, I use that word very loosely, but into a villain of some sort for a significant portion of the population. It doesn't hurt him in Green Bay because it's Green Bay, but like that stuff he's been saying lately, it wouldn't go over so well in, say, San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York. And I really do think that's probably limits the places where he would be comfortable playing football, because, you know, he can say what he says on the Pat McAfee show, and Green Bay fans, you know, will largely just either not mind it or be willing to look past it. And that just wouldn't be the case in a lot of other places. And, you know, we talked to Will Brinson about it yesterday. He's a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. He said absolutely he thinks that's at least on the list of reasons he believes Aaron Rodgers will just remain in Green Bay as opposed to, you know, go play somewhere else. And so, you know, all indications at this point are that's exactly what he's going to do.
Story number four.
Tim McMahon from ESPN tweeted today a picture. Desmond Bane, he has cleared the NBA's health and safety protocols and rejoined the team. So he's expected to play tomorrow night in San Antonio when the Grizzlies take on the Spurs. Also in that same tweet said Ja Morant did not practice today because of personal reasons, but is expected to play in San Antonio tomorrow. You got any concerns about Ja's personal reasons?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm looking around and I haven't seen too many people talking about it, so I would assume it's not a huge deal, but I guess we'll see tomorrow.
Hey, if he needed a day off, who deserves it more than Ja Morant?
Nobody.
You know?
Nobody. Yeah. You're right.
Long as he's in the starting lineup, I'm cool.
Yep.
But that's the news from Tim McMahon. We'll see what the starting lineup looks like tomorrow night when the Grizz are in San Antonio. Jeff Calkins is up next.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis celebrates a legacy of sports in the Mid-South as flagship home of the Grizzlies and Tigers talk on the Odyssey app. Powered by DuckDuckGo, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Melissa Cookson is a 7-time barbecue world champion. You should know that by now. But here's the new news. She just opened the Barbecue All-Stars Barbecue Super.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.